Start reading chapter number 11 today. It's so good to see you here. I hope you've come this way looking for a blessing. I found out those that come to church are looking most of the time get what they come looking for. The book of Exodus, chapter number 11. The Bible said in verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses." It's always the God of order. Ain't you glad God's always talked to His man to talk to His children? And so it will work no other way. God don't speak to committees. He speaks to His men that stand up in leadership in a church as the under-shepherd. So He said to Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even in the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more." Chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spake to Moses, and he told him in verse 2 about a month. Then verse 3, he talked about a message. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next into his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly and the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and eat with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, nor boiled at with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain to the morning. And that it remaineth of it to the morning you shall burn with fire. Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste, because it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, little g. And I'll execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Thank you for standing this morning. I'm interested in chapter number 11 and verse number 4. The Bible said, "And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt." I'd like to start a series this week, and I want to deal with these thoughts of the Bible on messages at midnight. Messages at midnight. There's a few times that this word midnight's mentioned in our Bible. And this morning I'd like to pull out of this text of Exodus 11 and 12, and I want to preach on this thought of the message at midnight on a message of redemption. Message of redemption. I want to say, first of all, it is a dark hour. Our country's never faced the darkness that we're facing today in America. We'll have a missionary here next Sunday night from Canada. It's amazing what some things that he'll tell our church that's going on in the neighboring country. It's amazing the things that have been passed by the Supreme Court and the legislature, even in California, that'll soon be heading toward Georgia, of the same-sex marriage, of things that are an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. It's amazing where America's got tonight, and it is a midnight hour in our country. But aren't you glad that the blood is still viable in the day and hour that we live in this land of midnight? I'm glad the blood is still efficient, and we don't need another gospel or another Bible. There is no other way, friend. It's still by the blood in our dark hour tonight. Oh my, we find now, I want to share with us, first of all, you'll note in this message of redemption, this midnight hour found a rebellious people. We find in verse number 1 of chapter 11, and the Lord said to Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt." Now we see at this message of midnight, there is a rebellious people. In chapter 5 and verse number 1, I want to note that they are a destructive people. Destructive people. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told the Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." This rebellious people, they are destructive people, these people of Egypt. All through the Bible, Egypt has been a great representation of this old wicked world. This morning we've read many passages about how people they're looking in this world for the answers, and they're journeying in the land of Egypt. But God said that we were to be strangers and pilgrims on a journey headed into the promised land. Oh, today we see that this rebellious people, they are destructive. They hold people captive. I wonder how many of you today, this world's got you held captive. He went in and he cried, "I want you to let my people go." I want to tell you that God's people has no business being held captive in this lost and dying world. A lot of things will hold you captive in this old world. A job or a career or things or habits hold you really captive in a dark and a dying world. I wonder what's holding you back this morning headed into the promised land. Oh, we see that this rebellious people, they, my friend, the Bible said, were a destructive people. And then in verse number 2 of chapter 5, you'll see they are a denying people. And Pharaoh said, "Well, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" That reminds me of all of our high courts and our leaders of our country today. I thought, you know, when I used to read of old Elijah and Elisha, how they'd go into the old kings of the Bible and how they would certainly tell them about the Lord, and they would make fun of them. And I used to think that was such a foreign land. But ain't it amazing how we live in an hour of the day, in this midnight hour, that we live in a country and with a people that deny the Lord? Well, who is the Lord? Let me tell you who He is, honey. He's the one can put you in heaven or in hell this morning. I'll tell you who the Lord. He's the one that gave you the breath to breathe. He's the one that gave you the eyesight to see. He's the one put gas in your car today. He's the one built the church house. He's the one that you're sitting on a pew by. Thank God I know who the Lord is today. That's the whole mindset of this stinking country. Well, who's the Lord? I'll tell you who He is, honey. He's boss. And He will have the last say-so. So who is the Lord? My, isn't it amazing that leadership, we see in this people, this rebellious people, not only were they destructive, but they were denying. Well, who is the Lord? I'm going to tell you, Mom and Daddy, you better be teaching your young'uns who the Lord is. Better be teaching who the Lord is. And then in verse number 2, not only were they a denying people, but you'll see they were a disobedient people. This is what they said. He said, well, who's the Lord that I should obey His voice? In other words, they said, well, what's that to me? That I should obey His voice. I want to say, I'm glad He still speaks in this day and this hour. I believe with all my heart we're living in the last days. Days like our country's never seen. We live around a very destructive people, disobedient people. Oh my, how it is in our country knows nothing about the Lord. Isn't it amazing in the first grade how that I had a school teacher who would sit around and read to me out of a Bible. Friend, I'm just some 47, 48 year old. Don't really know. They may have the birth certificate messed up. But I'm going to tell you this morning, isn't it amazing where our country has went from where it was to where it is today? Well, who's the Lord? What does the Lord matter? I bet I met 40, 50 vehicles to Lake Weedowee today, pulling a boat, living a life of pleasure. As Brother Mike said, we live all through the week hunting a weekend of pleasure. Honey, you better get buckled in and realize there's a payday coming someday. And the God of this Bible is still the God on the throne, and He has the last say-so. White House is not our answer. This fuel crisis is not our problem. It's a society that knows nothing about God. Who is the Lord? We see a rebellious people. They were destructive, they were denying, and they were disobedient. And it's amazing how that society has crept into our churches. Used to, a church was different, and it still ought to be different. It ought to look different on the inside than it does on the outside. If people come here and look in, and if everything looks in here the way it does on the outside, then why come to church? Why just don't go on and make you a tea time? Go and put gas in your boat, honey. If it's no different in here, we're wasting our time. But I know I'm glad who the Lord is this morning. Oh, we see rebellious people at this midnight hour. This message of midnight, there's a message of redemption here. He's talking to rebellious people. But then in chapter 11, verse 5, not only is there a rebellious people, there's a remorseful plague. Somebody said, well, now, God is a perfect gentleman, and you know, God's not going to punish. Let me tell you something. God's not changed, friend. God sent a plague on a people that denied Him, and ain't nothing changed. God's fixing to send a plague. He's done sent plagues to America, but nothing like one last plague that's coming our way. What kind of plagues we got? Now we got AIDS in society. We said homosexuality was just an accepted lifestyle. God said it was an abomination. We laughed in the face of God. He said, fine, get eat up with AIDS and go to a devil's hell. Go to hell in your sins is what He said. He said, you deny Him, you can't go to heaven. So we shook our fists in the face of God. We said, no longer do we need discipline with our children. We let them take time out, and now they bring guns to school. Well, I used to, it was a sin to have chewing gum, but now they bring Uzis and Tommy guns and blow our children into eternity. All because we said, God, You're not real. This morning, America's in trouble. You sit around and look at a preacher like he's crazy if he preaches the way I do. I'm telling you, honey, the God of this Bible is still the God of the Bible, and nothing's changed. Sin is still sin, and right is right, and wrong is still wrong. And I'm not trying to fill a house full on political preaching. I'm telling you, honey, we need the Word of God back in our country. Oh my, we see this remorseful plague that was coming. You say, well, God loves me too much to put me in hell. Honey, the Bible said He loved you enough, He gave His Son to get you out of hell. If you deny His way, you'll go to hell. If you're not careful, you're going to lead all your children in there with you. We see this rebellious people and a remorseful plague. Bible said in chapter number 11 and verse number 4 how it sought them. Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth on his throne, even the firstborn of the maidservant that's behind the meal, and all the firstborn of the beast. We see how it sought them. God said, you've rejected me and I'm going to come out to you, and there's a payday coming someday. I'm going to tell you, there's a payday coming someday. I hate it for my grandyoungin. I hate it for your grandyounguns. I wonder when I'm dead and gone, you're dead and gone, this generation, what's waiting on a generation to come? Well, these plagues that are coming and things we thought we would never see. Sin's ugly, folks. Sin's ugly in the eyes of God. And he said, let me tell you something. There is a remorseful plague coming. If you don't obey my voice and the word of God, you're going to pay for what I told you was coming. Oh my, we see how it sought them. And then, in chapter 12, verse 29, guess what? Not only how it sought them, but look how it caught them. You ever read some verses in the Bible that caught up with you? Let me tell you something. God's Word will come to pass. And God's Word's not to be taken lightly. The remorseful plague, how it sought them and how it caught them. Chapter 12, verse number 29. Notice here the Bible said it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of it. How could God do that? You know how come God could do that? Because He said He would do that if things wasn't taken care of. Came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. He said, buddy, from the white house to the outhouse, it hit them all. Can I tell you, friend, there is a thing coming to the all four corners of this world, a plague coming like nobody's never seen. God said He's going to burn it up with one sound of His voice. Said it's going to burn up like chaff. Everything you're working for is going to burn up this morning. And oh, I'm telling you how it sought them, but how it caught them. You ever read in the Bible some verses that have stayed on your heels and all of a sudden it caught you? Friend, God's Word does not go back to Him void this morning. And you may sit there and laugh at this old country preacher. You may laugh at the page of this Bible, but it's going to catch you one day's morning. It's going to catch you. And so we see how it sought them and how it caught them. He said it came to all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the white house to the outhouse. It hit everybody in the land. Didn't have enough money to buy off this plague. And so we see how it taught them. In verse number 30, watch what it said. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. The Bible said in Exodus 11:6, He said, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. Could you imagine at that midnight? Could you imagine when everybody's house was affected? I mean, we get one phone call now in the wee hours of the night. But could you imagine every family there was affected in their midnight hour? Can you imagine that everybody in their home, they had somebody that was affected with this plague? Everybody in the land was touched. And you say, well, God's a God of love. Sure He is. He put Jesus on the cross. But He's also a God of payday, friend. God of payday. And so everybody in the land of Egypt was affected. And so we see in this passage of Scripture, not only now do we see a rebellious people and remorseful plague, but I want you to look thirdly at a redemptive plan. Now, in chapter 11 and verse number 7, I want to note something to you. In 11 verse 7, I want you to look at, first of all, how the Lord made a difference in people. This is what He said, Exodus 11, 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What are you saying? God's made a difference. How's He made a difference? He made a big difference in Egypt and Israel. He's made a big difference in the church and the world. We're to be separate and come out from among them. We're not to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, or be of the world. But boy, isn't it amazing how most churches, they want to pick out all their deacons because they're successful in the world. What's that got to do with being filled with the Holy Ghost? We look at people successful in the world. They say, well, man, they would be successful in the church. They don't know nothing about God nor the Holy Ghost, but we'll just put them in office. God's made a difference in people. Well, how's He made a difference? Oh, I'm fixing to share it with you. You see, it's not what they had, but it's what they did. Now, I want you to notice something that happened now. Not only rebellious people and a remorseful plague, but look at this redemptive plan. In chapter 12, you'll notice before it starts, Moses gives a direction. He said in verse 1, and the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. In verse 3, you'll notice there is the speaking of the blood. God's plan was by the blood, and nothing's changed today. It's not by church membership. What made God skip over a people and not affect them with death? One thing, the blood. You know the reason that the plagues of an eternal world will not affect us as God's children? Because of the blood. Now, there was a message preached, and this is what He said. He said, I want to share with you about the speaking of the blood in verse 3. He said, I want you to speak unto all the congregation of Israel. And I want to say something. It does matter where you go to church. Now, I don't know if the Egyptians heard this sermon or not, but I can tell you one thing. God's people heard it. You say, well, any old church will do. Oh, is that right? Are they preaching the book? Are they preaching the blood? Are they looking for the blessed hope? Are they just feel good, reel in good, come on the way you are and leave the way you are? Are they telling you the truth? Jesus is not some way. He's the only way. We're raising a generation where there's an option of how to go to heaven. I mean, you ask the average young person in America, how do you get to heaven? You ask 20, you'll get 20 different opinions. Well, you got to work. Well, you got to do the best you can. You can't tell lies. You can't cheat. You can't steal. And you got to do this. You got to do that. And you got to be a Baptist. And you got to be baptized. And you got to read your Bible. And you got to do all this. No. Ain't none of that so. God said it's one thing. You must be under the blood. Amen. I want to ask you something today on this redemptive plan. Aren't you glad that God thought of it? I'm glad He gave us a way out. And so this is what He said. He said, the speaking of the blood, in verse 3, He said, I want you to take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. I want to say something to you daddies this morning. He didn't say, every one of you women take a lamb. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be man of your house. And if you're not, you ought to get you some guts to be the man at your house. You ought to not rely on your wife to bring your youngins to church. You ought to be the daddy, throw your shoulders back, and play the part of being daddy. I never seen so many wimpy, Mickey Mouse, spineless, yellow-bellied men in all of my born days. I wish you'd hunt as many excuses to get here as you do to get out of here. You ought to be a man. Take the laces off your breeches and be a man. Some of the women run you just like a little old scooter. Hey, man, you ought to be a man. Get you some guts. You ought to say it's church time. We go in the house of the Lord. Well, Grandpa's coming. Bring Grandpa with you. Glory to God. Well, we got to go and grill them Oscar Mayer wieners. It's Memorial Day night. Well, what about the house of God? Amen. You wimp. You're a spineless wimp. You're going to go to heaven and say, well, I taught them how to hit a baseball. What in the world has a baseball got to do with a Bible? Somebody needs to pop you upside your head. You're goofy. Be a man. Amen. I thought your wife's supposed to have been married a man, not a sissy. Maybe it's about time you decide what side of the fence you're sitting on. I hope you don't go to looking at me funny. Yeah, man! Every man take your lamb and see about your own house. Daddy, come judgment day, you're going to give an account for your house. She ain't going to give an account for your youngins. You are. You're going to stand at payday and give an account for your house. Oh, well, I taught him how to hit the baseball. Big deal. I taught him how to say all of his ABCs. That's good. I wish I knew how to say mine, but big deal. Instead of teaching them how to live, you better be teaching them how to die. This sissy, godless society. Laodicean church age pie where the people praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Bunch of sissy 21st century whiny babies. My mama had something I ain't never seen no more. Miss Sherry, big old water bottle. The older ladies used to fill them water bottles up with hot water and put a pillowcase on it and put your head down on it. That's why some of y'all need a big old water bottle with a big old passy on the other end of it. Yeah. Run around with your little feelings about half hurt. Well, since that hurt my feeling. Yeah, 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 yeah. Broke record, broke record, broke record. Won't you move on, crybaby? Well, we ain't got time. You know, we got to lay down. We got to work tomorrow. Well, you ought to thought about that before you laid out on the lake all day. Amen? You ought to thought about that. You're hunting pleasures, ain't you? I mean, you're just running the whirlwind. You're running, 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 running. What you caught? Nothing. Your family dying, going to hell. You some kind of big shot with your shoulders thrown back. Know nothing about God. I'd rather know something about God and the Holy Ghost and raise my children in a Bible preaching church than own the cattle of 1,000 hill this morning, friend. Bunch of wimpy little men. I bet you got lace on your britches. Amen. Redemptive plan. Speaking of the blood. Then there's the sufficiency of the blood. He said, and if the household be too little for the lamb. I'm so glad the lamb wasn't too little for the household. I'm going to tell you, He's big enough. I don't care what you've done. He can wash away your sins this morning. I don't care how long you've been doing it. Honey, the blood of Jesus is sufficient today. And the eye, boy, we live in churches though this Burger King religion. Have it your way. You'll die and go to heaven. My, this redemptive plan, the speaking of the blood, the sufficiency of the blood. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the soul. That lets me know we ought to be letting our neighbors know about it. Wonder how many times we back out of the driveway and never even asked our neighbors to come to the house of God and hear no Bible preaching. I love what Brother Ricky said to somebody. He said, y'all just come on down there. Brother Ken, be glad to preach to you. That's all you need to say. Just tell them we got preaching in our church. We ain't got entertainment, games, gimmicks, or gadgets. We got old time Holy Ghost running, shouting, snot, slanging, preaching. Well, I can tell some of y'all, you done getting a little dignified. Some of this old-time preaching done got old to you. I tell you what you need. You need to be over here on a bunch of them moss backs where you need to be. Bless God. tie everything. That's where exactly where some of you need to be. Over there in mossback land. Somebody run the altar. Somebody say, what they been doing? You remember them days? You know, you can help ignorance, but you can't help stupid. We ought to be witnessing to our neighbors. Tell them about a Christ that loves them. The sufficiency of the blood. Ain't you glad it's big enough? The shedding of the blood, verse 6. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Boy, it's getting late. Shedding of the blood. Verse number 7. Let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus was not enough to get you to heaven. You've got to apply it. You hear me this morning? Amen. Jesus' blood was perfect. It was sufficient. But Jesus' blood will not get you to heaven unless you apply it personally. Amen. You hear me this morning? You're not going in on your mom and daddy's coattail religion. You must be born again. Amen. The blood must be applied to you individually. The sprinkling of the blood in verse number 7. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall take of the blood and strike it. I want to ask you something. There not only do we see the speaking of the blood, the sufficiency of the blood, the shedding of the blood, but there's the sprinkling of the blood. He said you must partake of it. I want to ask you, have you ever had the blood applied to your life? Do you know that you're a member of the blood wash band? I'm not asking you, are you a Baptist? I'm not asking you, are you a member of this church? I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm not even asking you, do you read your Bible or pray? I want to know, have you been put under the blood this morning? Notice the sprinkling of the blood. And then 12, look at the seeing of the blood. I love this. The Bible said, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Boy, the seeing of the blood. And watch this. I can't see the blood. Nobody else can see the blood, but He can see the blood. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherever you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let me tell you something. It's coming, friend. There's payday coming someday. As Miss Julie said, when them storms come, I'm so glad that I've been saved by the grace of God. You see, when He sees the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. Some of you saying, well, I'm going to hold me all of my thousands up. He said, that ain't going to get done. He said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull in my Bible, and I'm going to find my church letter, and I'm going to put my church letter up on my door. He said, my church letter wasn't going to get me in. And then over there where I was recorded the day I got baptized, I'm going to hold that up to you, Lord. I got baptized on that day. He said, that wasn't going to do nothing for you neither. He said, well, what about all them people I help and all that money I give away and I'm holding all these works up on my door? He said, I ain't going to do nothing for you. But He said there was a lamb one day hung on Calvary's cross, had never known sin. He hung and died for the sins of this world. And God said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. He said He was not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John seen Him across the river, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, when I see the blood, some of you are going to say, it's what some of you are going to say that day, and it's what's so sad. Some of you are going to say, I sat under Ken Bowman 13 years. See, God, you know He's an old-time preacher. He preaches right. God, I was a member of LBC, one of the best churches of the area. I sat there in that church. Yeah. Some of you did, some of you have. But it's not going to help you that day. You're going to say, Lord, I was fellowshipping with some of the best people in the country. That's no doubt in my mind. Lord, I had the best mom and daddy a man, woman, boy, or girl could ever have. But you listen to me. That's not going to be enough. Lord, I tried to do right. It's not going to be enough. Lord, I was faithful to that church. Ain't going to be enough. Lord, I made it to Sunday school every time the door was open. It's not going to be enough. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What can wash away my sins? Brother Gerald, would you come lead that verse? What could wash away my sins?